Hello, everyone. I am James Dean Mixes from the Mixing Music Podcast, member exclusive episodes, where every week DK and I break down the technical side of mixing, mastering, and music production. With the normal weekly episodes, you get to hear DK and Lou talk about the more philosophical side of the music industry. On the member exclusive episodes, DK and I get more into the nitty-gritty technical side of things. We sometimes do mix breakdowns, we break down technical tips, and sometimes we share things that couldn't be shared on the normal public episodes. And we release two of these episodes every week. So for $3.99 a month, you get quite the bang for your buck. So go check out the mixingmusicpodcast.com or click on the link in the description to subscribe now. So without further ado, here's an episode from the vault. Mixing Music Podcast member exclusive episodes. I am your host, James Dean Mixes, here with you. And here with me is the lovely man, Daddy D, DK. And he is here to give us some great advice. DK, in 30 seconds or less, what were your favorite movies of 2023? Top three favorite movies.
Ooh, I did watch a bunch. Godzilla Minus One.
I still need to see that.
That was surprisingly good. Like a low-budget Japanese live-action film shouldn't have been that good.
Yeah, I heard it was super low budget. Yeah.
That's the only one I watched really recently. Oh, The Boy and the Heron.
Which
is a Studio Ghibli movie, which won the first Japanese movie to win the first Golden Globe ever.
Oh, snap.
Yeah. Hopefully it'll do well. I don't usually like Japanese movie, and my two choices were Japanese movies this year. What else did I watch this year? I watched a bunch, and I'm nothing else is coming to the top of my head of like the best movies. Did you have like a list?
My top three this year, have you seen the trailer for it, Poor Things? The one with Emma Stone?
No, I haven't.
It's a very, very artistic movie, but it was very, very good.
I figured it out. Oh, the Mario movie. Duh. Yeah, that's the third one.
That movie was fun. I like the Mario movie.
I'm a huge Nintendo fan.
But yeah, mine were that. Poor Things, The Stay Over. This is a movie about like a teacher and a student. You would really like it.
I don't know any of those that you said. Movie. Yeah.
And Talk to Me, the horror film.
I didn't watch any of those movies.
Dude, I saw Talk to Me with Dami and Nicole from the they're people who work at, for those who don't know, they worked at In the Mix, and they showed up like super high, like out of their mind, and they kept on laughing at like the worst moments to laugh.
That's funny.
Like there's this scene where like this dude literally like he stabs his brother and then stabs himself in the face.
Yeah.
And like they just started laughing like super hard at it, and I was just sitting there like, "Oh, dude, what are you doing?"
There's like a lot of other movies. Like I watched Dumb Money, which was fine. I liked Champions, which is like the Down Syndrome League of basketball. I really like that one.
Oh, I want to see that one with Woody Harrelson.
Well, yeah, that was really cute. Like it's a feel good movie, you know, it's not like insanely cinematic or anything like that, but it was, I thought Dungeons and Dragons was funny. I'm excited to see where that goes.
Was funny. Yeah,
I wasn't expecting that at all with Dungeons and Dragons. I also did know. Have you noticed that since moving out here, that people are like wildly into movies? Have you noticed that? Like, people are not just into like movies; like, they're into the writing and the storytelling and character development and color theory and like they're like really into the technical stuff of movies here. And I'm like really into people that are into that. Like, I love hearing people's synopsis on movies. Like, that's one of my things. Like, I love listening to not reviewers that tell them how they feel, but like breaking down why it's more interesting than it seems, like off, you know, like why this was really good from a technical level. I love hearing those things
about like social media and stuff is that like, yeah, people are able to, there's a lot of people who could explain things like that very well. So that like it helps everyone kind of appreciate the art more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, I didn't.
That was longer
I didn't
than
watch
30
any,
seconds, but
yeah,
that was a good
yeah.
answer.
Yeah. I didn't watch anything like really disappointing this year.
No, yeah, I feel like it was a good year for movies.
It was surprisingly because I was like the strike.
Yeah,
I guess
there's a lot of very odd but very good artistic films I saw this year. Because Ash and I go every Tuesday, so if there's not like a mainstream movie out, we'll just like choose a random movie.
I will say that like I didn't watch Barbie, I didn't watch Oppenheimer. I didn't hate Indiana Jones as much as people thought they did. People did.
I thought it was chill.
John Wick 4 was good too. I'm just so there was like a lot of movies that we watched. Like we're into movies, but we're not like a movie head where we go watch every week. You said that's what you and Ashley do?
Yeah, it's a tradition we started when we got married. Because we lived right next to a Cinemark, so we did the $5 Tuesdays every Tuesday.
Ah, nice.
And yeah, it's a tradition we carried on over here.
Nice. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, sweet. Well, now you all know our movie tastes and the movies we liked. Let's get into our clip this week. So this week we have, I recently listened to his interview on the Secret Sonics.
That's Secret Sonics, yep.
Yeah, Sonic Scoop's the other guy. And with Matt Huber. And I started to actually really like his mixes. And I think he had a very good way of explaining things. And in this clip, he talks about how he handles little, editing things that need to happen when he's in the mix because he's just a mixer and how he approaches that. So without further ado, roll the clip.
No, I don't think I've ever said anything back for being unmixable due to editing. I've gotten things in that I've opened up and been like, this may be unmixable, but I'm going to just dig in and do the editing. It's not my job. It's the producer's job, but if I'm going to be sending something out, I'm not going to hear an edit that should be done and not do it just out of principle. I just don't have the heart to do that. So, I rarely do send things back. Maybe I should send them back more. That's my answer.
Okay. So to recap, Matt pretty much says that he won't just ignore an edit just based on principle that needs to be made. He'll do the edit and he hardly ever sends something back to have someone else edit it. DK, what were your thoughts on this?
I think this is really good. I think that we need to first discuss the nuance of edits that should be made versus edits that are aesthetic or that don't necessarily need to be fixed. For example, an out-of-tune vocal, like 8 out of 10 times, 4 out of 5 times, is probably going to be an edit that should be made, especially in anything even pop or even like indie feeling. There should be no out-of-tune vocals. I think that's quite frankly really dumb and feels cheap, like emotionally just makes it feel cheap. Makes it feel like it was low effort. Either like, what are you going to interpret out of it? That they were so emotionally in the song that they just couldn't hit that one note because they were weeping? No, the interpretation is almost always going to be this person's either a bad singer, they didn't do, the editing wasn't paid for, this didn't have the budget to do enough takes, like there wasn't enough care and love in this song. Like that's how it's going to be interpreted almost every single time. So like, I think like out-of-tune, like there's been a few songs even with in the profession, like in the higher realms, like there's one note that was out of tune and I would go out of my way to fix that one note. I do it quickly. I will never do major edits. Like if I'm like, I will never even, this is way out of the realm of a necessary edit. Like I think the song should have an extra chorus at the end. That's not something I'm going to do. That's not an edit I'm going to make. Or if the drums feel like slightly out of time, like the drum is a little, or like the bass is a little late and the drums are a little early or something like that. I'm also considering like, does it feel good? Does it feel musical? And do I need to figure out also if it feels musical, even if it's not my taste? Because there's like, sometimes things don't feel musical. It's because I don't prefer that sort of sound. Like in trap music, like a lot of vocals were either really ahead of the beat or really late. Like they were almost never on time. But that was like the vibe of that era and that genre. So it took a lot of like patience to not fix that stuff. So it's just. So these are all things that you need to consider. And so I like the idea of like, if it's simple, if it's a quick fix, if it's pretty obvious, if there's no purpose to it, then it should be fixed. I think that's an edit that should be made. And I'm sure that even Matt would agree if there's like things that are more like aesthetic or aren't crucial, or they will take way too much time to do, aren't explicitly told to do that, there's a lot of edits that will not be made. shouldn't be made, I would say.
Okay. Have you noticed higher up, I guess, have you had to send it back for them to edit something higher, like at the higher up mixes?
Wait, say that again one more time.
So for like, because you're like, you know, working with higher and bigger clients, mm-hmm. have you had to send it back for them to change something?
Yes, many, many times. Yeah, that's pretty a normal thing where like most of the time it's the producer sent me a rough mix. This is part of the reason why I always ask for like a rough mix or a demo mix is because I'm always constantly comparing. I don't want to be too far off from the demo mix. I just want it to be a cleaner version or a better version of the demo mix.
Yeah.
There's a lot of nuance to that, but we won't get into it. But one of the things that happens quite often is that there's like a hi-hat stem missing. Or it's like the drums sound really... It literally happened this morning. I was bouncing some stems and I noticed... I was like mastering some stems and I noticed that one of the stems just sound wildly different. And this morning, a hi-hat was missing. When I was working on the Barely Human project, it was one of the hi-hats was missing. You know, So like that sort of thing. Or... even worse, like the stems, they weren't edited. So it's like the chorus and the verse is mixed up. Like if it's something simple, then I will do that edit for them. But if it's like, it's messed up and I don't know how to fix it. And there's a lot more like nuance to all this stuff. Like there's a lot of small things being cut in and out. Mm-hmm. Yes. Or like with Barely Humans Project, he'll like cut up the beat. Like he'll like cut out the beat for a bar to, you know, let the vocal breathe or like do some sort of like vinyl stop, tape stop for the beat. That's something that I'll do.
Yeah.
You know, without being told to. It's like the rough is almost always is almost always going to be right.
Yeah. Are they usually pretty understanding though when you have to say like, hey, can you guys do this edit?
Yeah, if they fucked up, they fucked up and it's more annoying, but like it's not on me. Of course it's not on me, yeah.
That's good to know that they're pretty chill about it. Cool. I honestly don't have anything to add to that. I agree with
that. Yeah, usually like a manager's job, like up like when it comes to management, like they have a couple jobs alongside their regular stuff. Like the meta jobs that they have is one to be really optimistic. And to like let everybody that's creative and insanely, innately insecure remind them that they're like just compliment all the time. Like you're such you did such a good job. You did it. Oh my gosh, so fantastic! Like that's a manager's job. I feel like I've never met a manager that wasn't insanely good at complimenting. And then the second thing is like to keep calm, to make sure everybody stays calm because it's like. At the same time, they try to balance out the creatives, which are very insecure, who are always very insecure, and they always second guess everything, and which in a business perspective is like really hard to work with.
Yeah.
So a manager has to balance those things out typically.
Chill. Awesome. I don't have anything else to add to it. That's great. We thank you everyone for listening. We're very excited, like I said in the last episode, for this year. Feel free to go check us out on our website, mixingmusicpodcast.com/sponsors. And without further ado, DK, sign us off.
Yeah, so I think for this episode, again, I don't really have any advice. I should think about it before. I don't really have any advice. I hope everybody's doing well. And on that note, happy mixing, my friends, and stay saucy. Are you tired of using Google Drive or Dropbox to send files to clients? Well, never get burned again with FilePass. I love and use FilePass exclusively for sending files to my clients. It's a cloud file sharing website specifically made by engineers for engineers. It's absolutely amazing. Go to mixingmusicpodcast.com/FilePass to check out the full feature list and subscribe today. Never lose another dime to burned projects. Happy mixing, my friends, and enjoy the show.